Moldova is a small landlocked nation between Romania and Ukraine, not much bigger than Rhode Island. Since it gained independence in 1991, it has struggled to define itself politically and culturally, often electing communist leaders as a way to deal with economic stagnation and continuing poverty. In this week's second backstory segment, we will take a look at the results of the recent elections there and what they could mean for Moldova's political future. Charles King, professor of international affairs and government at Georgetown University, joins us now. He is the author of The Moldovans, Romania, Russia, and the Politics of Culture, which is published by the Hoover Institution Press. I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Great to be with you.
Moldova recently attempted to institute election reforms that would change how the president was elected. What were the reforms and who proposed them?
Well, Moldova has sort of gone back and forth on how it elects the president. It used to have a popularly elected president, but once the Communist Party became more and more popular, the fear was that the communists would be able, through popular elections, to put a president in place essentially for as long as they wanted. And so the system was changed so that the parliament was the institution that elected the president rather than having a popular vote. Now they're trying to change it back so that the right-wing and centrist parties in Moldova hope to have to return to popular elections. The communists have been opposed to that, largely because in the past the communists were in fact able to take advantage of having the parliament elect the president and put their candidate in office. So the country has swung back and forth, but they're stymied right at the moment because they can't seem to agree on how to create a new system.
Aren't most of the former communist countries of Eastern Europe very anti-communist? How has Moldova continued to elect communists?
Well, you're right. Moldova is unique in that not only in the region, but in fact in the world, it was the first country in the world to have a popularly elected communist government and a president that was elected by the Moldovan parliament. Technically, the Communist Party in Moldova is not a direct successor to the old Communist Party of the Soviet Union. In fact, they changed their name. It's technically called the Party of Communists of Moldova because the old Communist Party was outlawed when the Soviet Union collapsed. But I think it's a combination of things going on in Moldova. It's on the one hand, a real dissatisfaction with what previous centrist and right-wing parties managed to do in the country. I think there's a certain nostalgia for the days when Moldova was a part of the old Soviet Union, and a real nostalgia for ties with Russia. And many Moldovans see the Communist Party as representing a strengthening of ties with the East and with Russia the longer they stay in power.
But I'm surprised by those ties with Russia because don't Moldovans, most of them speak Romanian. Aren't the real cultural and linguistic ties to Romania?
Well, you're right in that about 78% or so of the population is ethnic Romanian, or many of them choose to call themselves ethnic Moldovans, and they speak a variety of Romanian that's very much like Romanian in Romania itself. It's something like English with a Texan accent, so you can tell a Moldovan when you're speaking with him because of the accent. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the Moldovans think of themselves as just Romanians or want to unite with Romania or feel a special tie with Romania. In fact, much of Soviet cultural policy throughout the period of the Soviet Union was focused on making the Moldovans believe that they were something other than Romanian, that they were their own national group, to try to break ties between Romanians and Moldovans in order to keep the territory of Moldova firmly inside the Soviet Union. So modern Moldovans are the inheritors of that kind of legacy of cultural planning in the Soviet state.
And you've written that one of the most interesting things about Moldova is that 20 years after independence, it's really the only country in the region to still have difficulty defining itself.
That's right. There are plenty of countries that are having economic problems or that have disputed borders, but Moldova is the only place where the majority population, 78% of the population, can't quite decide on what it is linguistically, culturally, nationally, if you like. There are some ethnic Romanians or ethnic Moldovans in the country who think of themselves as simply Romanian by another name, that there's really no difference between Romania proper and the Republic of Moldova. There are others, though, who believe that the modern Moldovan state is the inheritor of a long tradition of Moldovan statehood that goes back to the Middle Ages and that separates them linguistically, culturally, historically from Romanians. The government of Moldova from time to time has talked about the existence of two Romanian states in the world. That's when the right-wing parties were in power. When the communists are in power, they never use that phraseology because they don't believe that Moldova is a Romanian state at all.
And Romania doesn't really want to annex Moldova, as far as I understand. But it is interesting, the history of Moldova, perhaps part of the problem is that when it was Bessarabia, it was ruled by the Russian Tsar for 106 years, and then it had the Romanian king ruled it for 22 years, and it was a Soviet republic for 51 years. All of that time, it never developed a sense of independence.
Well, that's right. This is a classic borderland territory in Eastern Europe that has, over the last two centuries, moved back and forth, as you indicated, between the Russian Empire and Romania and the Soviet Union. And so people really ought to be confused about identity issues or ought to disagree about who they are, given the history of this particular piece of territory. At the same time, I think the last 20 years have cemented a sense of being Moldovan, if not in a cultural sense, at least in a kind of national or political sense. A younger generation of Moldovans are very proud of their country, notwithstanding the economic and political problems. They're proud to call it home, even if they leave it and go to Romania or Canada or the United States or elsewhere. So independence has created, if you like, a greater sense of independence the longer it's gone on.
But compounding this whole situation, doesn't Moldova has two breakaway republics within its limited borders?
It has really one and a half. It has an area called Transnistria, which is a strip of land on Moldova's eastern border, sandwiched between Moldova and Ukraine, home to about 700,000 people or so. They declared their independence from Moldova at the same time that Moldova declared its independence from the Soviet Union in 1991. Then there's a republic in the south called Gagauzia, the home of a small Christian Turkic-speaking population that tried to declare independence, in fact succeeded in the early 1990s, but was gradually brought back into the fold and now enjoys autonomy within Moldova itself.
In the elections, wasn't there a very pathetic turnout?
For the referendum on changing the electoral rules for the president, there was a terrible turnout. In fact, they didn't even get to the 50% that they needed in order for that election to be valid, which is why Moldova is still without a formal head of state. They have an acting head of state, but they haven't, again, been able to agree on what that new electoral rule would be. Turnout in the last parliamentary elections was rather better, and those elections were valid, and it's the one that led to a new pro-European coalition government after the end of communist power.
But Moldova made headlines in the United States for the first time because of the so-called Twitter revolution. Younger Moldovans were protesting what they deemed to be an unfair election.
That's right. This was the last but one election. That was the election in the spring of 2009. Moldova then had new elections in just this past November. But the 2009 elections were probably the worst in Moldova's history, and really
were they
represented. They were, and it really represented a kind of backsliding. All of the election observers, both local and international, said that these clearly did not come up to international norms, and that's the thing. Once the communists announced that they had won yet another election, it was the thing that sparked protests, young Moldovans going out into the streets, using Twitter as a way of saying where the next demonstration would be. That's the thing that then prompted the early elections, which we've seen just this past fall.
Well, haven't many observers questioned why so many of the tweets were in English instead of Romanian or Moldovan or whatever language we want to say the people speak there?
Well, Moldova, like many East European countries, is a place where conspiracy theory is really the order of the day. The Moldovan government, the communist government, contended that this was anything from the Mossad to the CIA to even the old FSB, that is the renamed KGB, somehow trying to interfere in Moldova's internal affairs. I think more than anything, this was pretty good marketing on the part of the centrist and right-wing parties, which were trying to protest those elections. elections by trying to include more than just local Moldovans, but Romanians and observers in the United States or Western Europe or elsewhere, to try to get them involved in what was going on the ground. After all, similar things had happened over the last decade in Serbia, in Ukraine, in Georgia, that is, young people protesting rigged elections, and the Moldovans were trying to follow suit.
Communist governments have had a reputation for being prudish, but Moldova has rather healthy black markets, particularly in sex trafficking. How did it get to be a hub for human slavery?
Well, I think we have to look at two things, really, geography and poverty. Moldova is again, a classic borderland. It's where lots of different borders come together. It's a small territory and, in a way, ideally placed for lots of kinds of trafficking in arms and drugs, in people. And it became, over the last 20 years, a real hub of that. The poverty itself that the country has experienced also is one of the things that I think has spurred not only legal migration out of Moldova into Romania, Western Europe, or Turkey, or elsewhere, but also illegal human trafficking. People are often very desperate to get out of some pretty dire economic situations. And if they can find a trafficker who is willing to take them to Greece or Romania or Turkey or Bulgaria, they'll often take them up on that. And it's become a real problem.
Charles King is a professor of international affairs and government at Georgetown University and the author of The Moldovans, Romania, Russia, and the Politics of Culture, which is published by the Hoover Institution Press. And I want to thank you so much for participating in the second of today's Backstory segments on our show.
Happy to be with you.